Happy Monday, everybody, and happy Labor Day here in the United States. Hope you are enjoying a well-deserved day off today. And if you're still working, thanks for being out there. I'm working as well. We've got a great trip report show for your Monday. We don't take a day off here on the BR Guest Podcast. Listener Evan joins us from down in Georgia to talk about his quick trip back in July down to Disney's All-Star Movies Resort. They spent some time in Epcot during the Flower and Garden Festival, the very last days of the festival. We talk some snacks, some torrential downpours, sometimes at Disney Springs, dining at the Boathouse, and much more. We even get into some of the news of the week at the end of the show. Don't forget today's podcast brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all of your Disney trip planning needs. They're over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out four times a week all around the world. We couldn't do it without your support. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like to support the show as well on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1960 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you, and happy Labor Day to everybody here in the United States of America. For all those folks that are tuned in all around the world outside of the good old USA, Labor Day is here in the States. It's our unofficial wrap to summer, and it typically means grilling and college football starting for a lot of us, professional football starting soon. Maybe the last couple of lawn cutting that you have to do. It depends on what part of the States you're in, but today should be a day to hopefully not have to work. Not my case. I work every day, but I love my job, so it's fine. But, you know, get the kick back and just have one more last hurrah for summer and get ready for fall. I guess after today, everything will be pumpkin spice, even though I think it's been pumpkin spice for the last couple of weeks from what I've seen on social. I don't drink any of that stuff, so it doesn't matter to me. So anyway, today's a trip report. You're maybe listening to this on Tuesday. We'll give you a pass on that one. But joining us, we have a friend of the show, Evan, down in Georgia. Evan, how's it going today?
Going good, man. It's number two trip report on the BR Guest Podcast. Glad to be here. Excited to talk about my little short trip.
We're going to talk short trip, and we're going to talk just some of the news of the past few weeks, because we've had quite a bit of stuff happen, and you host your own Disney podcast. So let folks know off the top of the show, your show, and how they can check that out as well.
Yeah, thanks. So my podcast is called A Spoonful of Podcast. So we find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, you know, Spotify, anywhere like that, aspoonfulpodcast.com. We have a new Facebook group now called A Spoonful of Podcast Spoonie Nation. We are the Spoonies. So that's our, we coined that term. So anyways, yeah, thanks for having me. So we can talk about some news too. That's been a lot of news recently.
All right, so let's get to the trip report. Before we do that, again, in the spirit of the 50th, coming up here, I mean, we are in September. I'm going down this month, just over 3 weeks, to celebrate 50 years of Walt Disney World with the rest of all of Diz Twitter and everybody else who's going to be there. It's going to be a madhouse. But let me ask you what I've been asking everybody else. If you could bring back one promotion, parade, attraction, resort, anything from the past 50 years, what are you bringing back for the 50th celebration?
All right, so Mike, I told you I was ready for this answer, and I'm going to pull one that no one else, I guarantee you, and I've been listening, no one else has said this, and I don't even know if people remember this place, but I'm going to Hollywood Studios, and right next to the Brown Derby, there used to be Starring Roles Cafe.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I've had many a sandwich there, and actually the buttermilk, the Butterfinger cupcake I had there once.
They had great desserts. They had, those sandwiches were huge, and they had them at Sunshine Seasons for a little while, the same big sandwiches, but that was always, Hollywood Studios, I feel like, is lacking a lot in the quick service area as far as healthier options. I mean, I know a huge, big-as-your-face sandwich is not the most healthiest thing in the world, but it's better than a chicken tender french fry kind of thing. So I really wish they had that back. It was just a kind of a really cool place, sit on the tables outside. So I'm going with Starving Rose Cafe, and I probably no one else has said that, but that's the place I miss.
I'll give you credit. I don't think anybody else is going to say Starving Rose.
They're not going to say that.
Let me say, though, my go-to there was the Black Forest ham sandwich. You mentioned that. The thing was, yeah. It was super tall. Like,
it was big.
You kind of... It was one of those things like you had to like unhinge your jaw if you want to try to eat like your snake or something. But the thing is, you know, I think about this all the time, right? They haven't replaced it with anything. They didn't repurpose the area with anything. And it is, I mean, you're talking prime real estate in Hollywood Studios. I can't believe it. I mean, even if it's not Starring Roles, I can't believe it's not something. I mean, it sat there for years at this point, right at that intersection.
Yep. Now people just sit there in the tables and, you know, eat their other stuff anyway. So why not open that up and make some more money? Because Disney needs to make some more money.
Right. I mean, charge $12 for a sand. I mean, it seemed like it was just a... So no, this is why I guess I don't work in themed entertainment, because it seemed like, okay, that would be an easy thing. Just, we need quick service dining options. Sandwiches are relatively healthy. It's not fried foods and, well, whatever. And it's gone. So who knows?
So good, that's my pick.
And I mean, does Disney like selling cupcakes? Yeah. And they used to sell cupcakes there. So whatever.
Great,
anyway, that's why I'm not in this. Okay, so... Let's hop into your trip from July. You were down there a couple of days before I was. Quick little just mini vacation there. So walk us through how this trip came together and the details of it.
So this was a very last minute decision. We have a lake house on Lake Sinclair, which is a lake here in Georgia. And we typically go there every fourth. But we said, let's do it a little bit differently, because with my job, you know, I get all major holidays off. So I had the fourth off. And we said, let's do it a little differently. Let's try to go down to the world and let's book a long weekend. So me, my wife, and Ezra, our son, we went with my in-laws. And we just said, hey, let's get a cheap place. Let's get, you know, stay at All-Star Movies. We'll stay on site, because you don't do it any other way, in my opinion. And we were debating on even doing a park, Dave. And then we said, okay, let's try to pick one. And the only park that was open, which is not a complaint here, it's one of my favorites, is Epcot. So we decided, we checked in on the 2nd, which was Friday. We did Epcot the next day, Disney Springs the next day, and left the next day. So that was kind of the trip in a nutshell. We can go into details of the days, but it was really last minute decision. Let's just do it and go down and have some fun, because we're close enough.
That's something you can do being in Georgia, right? I mean, you're within striking distance there. You know, Ricky, she's in Atlanta. I think
she's an hour north of me.
Okay, about 7 hours, I think, is six. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how fast she drives. I've driven with her once, and it probably will be my only time. She scared the death. I was just glad to get out of the car alive. Anyway, hope she's not listening to the show. But anyway, so you're down there where you can make that happen. Now, you guys stayed at Movies. Quick little trip there. Disney Springs, Epcot, time at the resort. How did Movies hold up? Because I always tell folks, I always get this question about staying at the Swan and the Dolphin. I'm going to get hate email on this again. The Swan and the Dolphin are great hotels. They're actually pretty deluxe at a moderate price. Cannot beat the location. But for me, because I've stayed there, and at least at the Dolphin. And the thing is, while I love these hotels, and I'd be pumped to stay there if it was in St. Louis, or if it was in, you know, say I'm going to a football game in Knoxville, or, you know, so if I was anywhere else except Walt Disney World, I think this is a killer hotel. It's great. But when I'm at Walt Disney World, I need that feel. Like, I need the Disney gift shop. I need the food court. And I mean, I don't need the fancy stuff. I'm a Pop Century fan. I'm buying it a value resort. So I don't know. How did you feel Movies held up for this little quick trip for you?
It was great. I totally agree with you about Dolphin and Swan, because it's a, like you said, it's a deluxe resort. I would choose to stay there on any business trip, on any other city trip that you would do at location. It's just not Disney enough for me. I'm also, though, not a huge fan of like the Art of Animation. It's just kind of drowning in the Disney thing, but I want to see Disney. So like you said, Pop Century is always a go-to for me. Definitely Disney theme, huge gift shop. I definitely feel like I'm at Disney. But All-Star Movies was great. It was actually the only All-Star that was open at that time, right? It may still be at this point of recording. I'm not sure. But anyways, where we were staying, we stayed right next to music, and just, it was super eerie looking over there, because they had all the, like the, you know, the portable walls around the whole resort, and there was no lights on at the whole resort at night. Really weird security vehicle sitting over there. It just felt eerie. Like, this is not normal. It was great. You know, people say All-Star is a bad location, and it's not the most ideal location, but for what we wanted to do in a short little trip, cheap, it was worth it. It was fine.
I would say if you're a fan of McDonald's, you can't beat the All-Stars.
Yeah, if you want to pay $12 for a burger at McDonald's, yeah, go for it.
That and Animal Kingdom, the same Wide World of Sports. No, it's just, they are what they are. They're the very first value resort that Walt Disney built. They're built for large groups, you know, sporting teams, but they're also for families. I mean, I do not hesitate to stay at them. Because, I mean, again, I think it's nostalgia for me. You know, I've stayed all three of them over the years, and it's just kind of fun to get back to places you haven't been in a while. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, Paige was nine, and we stayed at Sports with the big, you know, Coca-Cola cups, yep. You know, on the you know, stands and stuff at Sports. So, anyway, so let's talk about, you guys, you picked Epcot because the theme park reservations, that's where you could get in. Yep. July 3rd, okay, so you're down there right around the July 4th holiday. So how'd the day go over at Epcot?
So the first thing is traveling down on the evening of the 2nd was maybe the worst decision I've ever made in my life. A 6-hour drive took a little over 8 hours, and it was storming. Traffic was terrible. It was stop and go. By the time we got to the resort, it was probably 11 o'clock, and I think I almost had 3 panic attacks. I was starving. My anxiety was through the roof, and I was like, I'm just ready to go to bed.
For real?
We have a park tomorrow, and I'm just leave me alone. Let me go to bed, and I'm just going to die right here. So I did, but yes, Epcot was the next day, was the only one we had reservations at. It was okay until torrential downpours happened. So fun little nugget here. We have, you know, Ezra, our son, he's a little over 1 year old. So we went on Spaceship Earth, which is a lot of go-to, you know, right there at the front of the park. So we sit down and we start on the ride, and you know where you can choose, you start touching the screen at the beginning, English, or you choose your language.
Right.
Well, Ezra touched Mandarin.
He's gifted, apparently. He can already, he's bilingual.
The whole ride, Mike, was in Mandarin. The whole ride. Talk about Rome burning, looking at Foxy Cleopatra. The whole thing was in Chinese. And I was like, this is different.
Yeah, it is.
So, anyways, that one I will never forget. It's memories, right? So we did everything you could do at Epcot. You know, we went to the land, the seas, World Showcase. As we're heading around to Mexico, though, because you always at World Showcase go to the right. You go to Canada first, and you go around that way. Every other way is
incorrect. I'm always drawn to Mexico. So what, you go to Canada first? See, if there's Mexican food, I'm like a magnet to Mexican food. I always go left. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, a lot of people go left. That's the incorrect way, just so everybody knows. But yeah, so by the time we get around the World Showcase and we're getting back to Mexico Pavilion, and where, you know, this is, we're there during Flower and Garden, I guess it's still going on.
It was
at that time. So yeah, so there's food booths. I can never remember so many festivals all the time now. So there's food booths out, and we make it to Mexico. The torrential downpour starts, and it's almost like hurricane, you know, just Florida storm, but it was not one that lasted 15 minutes. It lasted well over an hour. So we ran for shelter in the Odyssey building, which is a great spot. Just a, you know, PSA, public service announcement for everyone. That Odyssey building, well, we're doing like the future of Epcot show kind of right now. There's behind that room, they have tables all in there, air conditioning, great place to sit. So that's where we sat for a good hour, probably, because it was just raining so hard that no poncho, no umbrella could save you from this rain. So I decided to volunteer as tribute, and I ran out to the most closest food booth, which is at Test Track, and they had shrimp and grits and like these little cinnamon with bacon bits on top of them, little dessert things that were really good. So I went and grabbed everybody some of that, and we went and ate it for a while. But gosh, I mean, just trying to think back, we did everything you'd want to do. Of course, riding Frozen, we rode Soarin', did Rider Swap with Ezra. We rode Living with the Land, the best ride at Walt Disney World.
Absolutely.
And second to People Mover. But yeah, I think I wanted, one of my goals was to eat at Katsura Grill, because I'm not a sushi fan at all, but I do like Japanese food, Chinese food. I wanted to try some of the offerings there. So I listened to another podcast do a live dining review there, and some of that stuff sounded pretty good. I did not do that. So one of my only goals was to do that, and it did not happen.
Well, next time, you know, Shogun Platter is what I always get up there. Good stuff. But the thing is, you want to go up there when the weather's nice, because I think the food tastes so good because it's super peaceful. It's so removed from the promenade of World Showcase. When you're up there, you got the koi fish. You have these, you know, kind of up elevated. There's a little bit of a breeze up there. You feel like you're a million miles away from Epcot. That is underrated. I haven't thought of that. I didn't go there this summer. I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, the koi pond area in Japan, and this, we talked about this recently on our shows, Canada and how pretty Canada is,
right.
the country of Canada, the waterfall and walking back there to the gardens. Same thing with Japan. The koi pond, walking up through there, looking at some of the birdhouses, looking at some of the little sculptures and stuff like that is really, like you said, it's a great escape to remove yourself from, you know, the hustle and bustle of everything for a few minutes. But actually, Mike, we did not stay that long at Epcot. We stayed until about 4 or 5, just so we could go back to the resort, let Ezra have a nap. And I had all intentions of coming back to watch Epcot Forever at 10 o'clock. Gosh, I cannot believe they were doing it so late. But I was really comfy in the bed, so I did not go back to see Epcot Forever.
So this, because this was only the third night that the fireworks were back, because they came back July 1st. So yeah, I mean, this was like big time novelty, because when we were down there, people were killing themselves to see fireworks at the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Now I get it though. You get back, I got to give you a pass. You have a 1 year old, right? I mean,
right.
People got it. You got to understand everything stops when you have a toddler, a little baby,
yes.
You know, it's just, you can't say, oh, I can't believe you didn't go see Epcot Forever. No, it's,
I know
there's a hard pass.
He was asleep. Emily was in the bed. She was, you know, getting ready to go to bed. And I was like, and she's like, go, hey, babe, if you want to go for it, you know, no problem. So I want to, like, the Disney fan of me, the, hey, you have a podcast, you should post pictures and record videos of this part side of me was like, I need to go to this, but I really just, I lost to the lazy Evan.
No, it's called vacation. I mean, that's,
yeah,
I get silly with that stuff sometimes. So that's one of the things I need to chill out. Okay. So you guys kind of wrap it up there. Now, I got to ask you one thing, though, with the Odyssey, because they sent you out as tribute. Do they not sell some kind of a few snacks back there where those tables are? I thought they did.
They do during Food and Wine, but that's about the only festival they sell stuff in. They don't sell any in Flower and Garden. They do have all the registers still there. They're covered up, all that kind of stuff.
I think they were doing that, though, when I was down there this summer. I think you just might have caught a bad time.
Maybe
I'm
so.
Pretty sure.
They're definitely doing it, because right now they have the brew wings for Food and Wine right now, so they have all kind of different wing flavors, and it's in that building. But right when we were there, they were doing nothing, and I really just wanted like a Coke Zero or something. I didn't really want a whole dish. I just wanted something to kind of hold me over while we just waited things out. But that did not happen.
No, I'm just saying, maybe they just wanted to see if you would go out there, just testing your will to provide for the family. And you passed. I mean, you got out there in the. I feel you, because I've had to do that back in the day. I was doing that for Fast Passes when they had paper Fast Passes.
Oh, like, yeah.
We can get another one. I'm like, but there's a hurricane going on. That's okay. You'll make it to Splash Mountain and back. No problem. Yeah, no problem for you because you're sitting in the gift shop. Anyway.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know, like I'm at a Mexican restaurant. You know how they line the plates up their arms when they're coming to your table at a Mexican restaurant?
Right.
So that's how I feel with shrimp and grits. I have two things of shrimp and grits, two things of the candy, bacon, cinnamon things, a drink. So I'm like this in a poncho. That is when someone should have taken a picture of me.
Right.
Because I look the most ridiculous probably ever have.
That's extreme Flower and Garden festivaling.
Yeah,
right there.
And like 40 bucks later, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Got some soggy cinnamon bacon stuff. Anyway, okay, so look, next day you guys go to Disney Springs. So again, non-ticketed place. This is the 4th of July. So you're there on the holiday. How did that turn out?
It was fine. And so we had a choice to either do, I think Epcot was open for the 3rd and the 4th, but I said, surely, I mean, it's a holiday weekend, so it's going to be busy either way, but I'm going to take the chance and try to do the 3rd over the actual holiday itself in the park. I feel like that worked out because we woke up, we went to Disney Springs, we did the Gideon's thing, which Mike, you still haven't eaten a Gideon's cookie, correct?
I've not. Okay,
that's my
daily allotment. No, just kidding. But it's a lot of calories. But I will have one. I just keep telling me. Here's the thing. I just don't need another thing that I love and have to have that is so much work. Like I'd rather have something that's easy. You know, just like ice cream.
Well, this is a tip that I have for the listeners is, you know, if you get there early, we got there really early. Like, FYI, Gideon's will open before Disney Springs opens. So if you're staying at like Saratoga Springs and want to walk over, or any of those resorts, kind of that right there, you can walk over. Gideon's is most likely going to be open already. So if you get there, the first thing you do, by the time, unless you're one of the first people at Disney Springs and you go over that line, it's going to probably be about 30-minute wait. The best thing to do is what I always suggest to people is, you know, go there whenever time on your Disney Springs day, go ahead and put your name in the virtual queue, and then go do a dinner reservation, go do something else, go do, you know, whatever you want to do. And then by the time you're most likely going to be done with your dinner or done with whatever you're doing, you're going to be able to go to Gideon's. Now, secondly, we went there early as soon as it first opened, and they were already doing the virtual queue. So we had an 11:30 reservation at Boathouse. So what we did was exactly that. I went and asked the lady at Gideon's. I said, hey, what if I'm a little bit late? Because our reservation is at 11:30. What if I'm a little late? She said, that's totally fine. You have just, when you leave Boathouse, come over here, let us know you were eating at a restaurant, and that we'll let you in. So they're very flexible.
That's good.
Obviously not wanting you to break the rules, but if you're, you know, you can still enter in. So
and also Carolyn's asking here in the live chat as we're recording, what is Gideon's? It's like the new hotness at Disney Springs. They sell these really fancy, rich cookies and cakes. And I believe so we have a place here across the street from us. It's dangerously close. It's 0.7 miles from our house. We live really close, like a Chick-fil-A that's 0.6. My Taco Bell's 0.9. Target's 0.5. We live really close to a lot of stuff that is way too
close
to live next to.
That's all you need. Chick-fil-A and a Target.
It's a place called Crumble Cookies. I don't know if you've ever heard of Crumble Cookies.
Yeah,
okay, so
franchise.
Every week they come out with like five different. It's like the 5-pack or something, and my wife's like loves these things, and so does Paige. So we always end up with like the 4 or 5-pack sitting on the stove, and they're huge cookies. So we cut them into eighths and stuff, and just grab a little corner every once in a while. But the thing is, I think that's what Gideon's is like, right? They go through different varieties of cookies. I think there's some that stay on the menu, but they switch them up. Now, let me ask you though, what was your go to? Because Scott and Pam both, I think they prefer the cakes to the cookies at Gideon's, from what I've been.
I've not eaten a cake yet. I want to try a piece of cake. That's going to be on my list next time. My favorites, and I'm not a just standard chocolate chip fan most of the time. I like oatmeal raisin. I like some different kinds of cookies, but I typically at Gideon's go for just a standard chocolate chip. I like that one. When I was there, I don't know if this was this trip or another one, they had probably my favorite one they've ever had was one of their features. So just like you said, Mike, they do a cookie of the month. So every month they have one cookie that is a special cookie, and they have all their other ones. I think double chocolate chip, pistachio, chocolate chip, a couple different ones that they have all the time. But they had a chocolate peanut butter one. Mm-hmm. And that was my favorite one that they've had. That is the dangerous combo, chocolate peanut butter.
Oh, yeah,
all day long.
You can't do that wrong. There's no way. It's impossible to do that wrong. Yeah,
that was the best. And then, but I've not had a cake, but people have told me the cakes are great. Emily liked they have a peanut butter cold brew there. That is, if you're a coffee fan, I'm not really that much, but she liked it a lot, and she says she would recommend it. So if you like coffee, they have coffee options. They have cold brew options, but the peanut butter cold brew is really good at Gideon's.
It kind of looks like, to me, again, this is somebody that's never been in there, and I'm just resisting it. I will get in there. I've even been to Toothsome's over at Universal at
CityWalk.
And I've had the big old shake and stuff. I regretted drinking that whole thing and had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich sitting on top of it. We were down there for training for the agency. It was like, what am I doing? Anyway, the whole thing, though, about Gideon's reminds me of like going into a Hot Topic at the mall or something. It looks like I'm like not hip enough to get in there. Right? I mean, it's like, this dude is like, he's, you know, he's 47. He's from Missouri. And even if you're in the virtual queue, buddy, get out. You're not hip enough to get in this, buy the cookie. I don't know. I get feelings like that.
Right. People really like their decor. It's a little eerie, kind of grungy, like you said, gothy kind of, I don't know. It's not really for me. I feel super out of place, you know, as a Georgia, South Georgia boy walking up I was like, this is not me. But their cookies are really good. So Gideon's is worth it, but I would definitely not, you know, stand in a line for an hour for Gideon's for sure. I would just join a virtual queue. It will, you know, it's easier than joining Rise of Resistance.
Right.
come back later after you've eaten. But Boathouse, I want to get shirts that just print out to say, I heart Boathouse. Boathouse is so good, and I feel like that a lot of people don't, they think Boathouse and they think this is a fancy restaurant that I'm not going to be able to afford. Like, that's,
I think that, you know what, I've been there a few times because I go with friends, right? That love, Pam Forrester loves Boathouse, Scott loves Boathouse. I go because I'm a good friend, and I'm always thinking Boathouse is expensive. But it's good. I always get the sliders. They're not too bad.
Yes, so there you go. That's exactly what I was about to say. The filet mignon sliders. Look, okay. Would you rather spend $11 at Cosmic Rays for chicken tenders and fries or $11 at the Boathouse for filet mignon sliders and a baked potato?
Right.
I'm not joking. It's $11 for that meal. And so we took our in-laws and my father-in-law is the biggest penny pincher in the world. And he was like, I don't know about this. I was like, trust me, just those sliders are worth it. And we had a really good time. So Boathouse, they have a Gibson burger that's really good, filet mignon sliders, some sandwiches, salads. Those are the cheaper items on the menu. And some of them are very close to like quick service theme park food pricing, but they're so much better.
And pro tip, if somebody gets the rolls, if you have rolls on your table, the rolls, oh man, the rolls at Boathouse are so good.
So I've had them two ways. They've done just the rolls with butter. I don't know, this is, I guess, turned into a food show. Food strip and grits and now this. So they do the rolls with butter, but the last time we were there, they did rolls and they put cinnamon glaze, like a cinnamon butter glaze spread on top of them.
That's bordering on Texas Roadhouse right there. I'm just saying.
I think I committed a sin when I ate that.
And that's a compliment. Yeah, I know people are like, oh my gosh, you're comparing Texas Roadhouse to...
those rolls are awesome.
Yes, they are. Those things are so good. Anyway, so how was Disney Springs? Are you guys dine there?
It's great.
You with Gideon's? But I mean, did you guys do any shopping? Especially with a one-year-old, because that can be really touch and go, you know, if it's busy.
Yeah, he was kind of okay with the stroller nap thing. He's kind of a little... He'll do it some, but not all the time. So we tried that. I can't remember if it worked or not on that, but we did. We shopped around. We went to, they have an inside of where like Trendy is and is that the marketplace kind of area. They have where like a Disney Cruise Line pop-up shop. That's where the dresses are. They have the D-Tech phone cases. But like I just said, they had a Disney Cruise Line pop-up shop. So they had a lot of gear from the cruise line, shirts, that kind of stuff. I'm not sure if it's there right now, but it was, you know, a month ago when we went. That was pretty cool to look around. Also, another thing that I would highly recommend, and I should have got it to show y'all that are watching the show on Facebook. They have in the area where they do the glass blowing, they have a silhouette kind of cutout thing that you can get done of your child. And it's very inexpensive. They do the same thing in Magic Kingdom on Main Street, right, on one of the little side streets. They do the silhouette cutouts. For a picture itself and the frame, it's $25. So that's really...
That's a great deal.
That's a great deal. So we got one of him, and it's probably only... You know, it's very small, and it's a silhouette cutout of his profile, and then it comes with a frame. But then we spent, I think, $30 and got the one where it's his silhouette profile, and he's looking at a Mickey silhouette profile.
Ah, nice.
And it's this frame. So it's really cute. It's one I've... It's a very inexpensive gift to bring back. It says Walt Disney World at the bottom. Great to hang up. It's one of those things we're going to try to do, you know, every couple of years or so to show the progression. It's a cool thing. So it's inside where the glass blowing is next to Basin. Okay. So yeah, we went World of Disney, walked around, did all kind of stuff. We also tried the watermelon Dole Whip.
Never had it. Now, where's that from?
Very good. So that's from, you know where the outdoor amphitheater is across from World of Disney, where they have the Dole Whip nachos right there and do the regular Dole Whips?
Yep.
I don't know what that's called, but that's where they did the watermelon Dole Whip. So you could get it two ways. You could get it in a cup with watermelon Dole Whip, and they sprinkle chocolate chips on top to make it look like seeds. And then they had a little toothpick of a watermelon stuck into the top. You know, Disney did all these things.
Yeah, of course.
Or you could get a big watermelon slice. I mean, it was huge. And they would fill the center of it with the watermelon Dole Whip. And you saw people walking around holding these things, just eating the watermelon and eating the Dole Whip. It's kind of ridiculous looking, but very good. I'm not a huge Dole Whip fan to begin with. My two favorites are that the Kakamura float that they do at Aloha Isle at Magic Kingdom. It's that coconut Dole Whip that they're doing right now. That's my favorite. And this watermelon Dole Whip was my second favorite. So very good.
That's not, and Carolyn says we're making her very hungry. Yes, we apologize, especially if you're, you know, getting in a run here because it's Labor Day. You're just kind of trying to be good. We apologize. A lot of food talk today. But hey, well, watermelon, that goes with the theme, right? I mean, watermelon summer, it's into summer, Labor Day, you know, watermelon Dole Whip.
Right. So we're helping you out because you've got to be eating food on Labor Day today. So we're really just, we're sitting at the table with you.
That's so if you eat Dole Whip over ice cream, right, that's a healthy lifestyle, I would say. I mean, it's probably not as fattening.
Y'all talked about that before, and I would consider Dole Whip ice cream-ish.
If I get ice cream, there's definitely going to be chocolate syrup on it, hot fudge, peanut butter, stuff like that. So yeah,
Dairy Queens will be in heaven.
Yes, I mean if it's like some form of a peanut buster parfait. Just saying.
You know,
modifications best on best. That. Okay, so now let me add, so that quick trip because I want to talk to you about some of the news too while you're here. And
we got more things I want to say.
Go
on
ahead.
That day.
No, go ahead because I want to get some of your thoughts on things too.
All right, so a couple things. We left Disney Springs probably around 4:30, and we went to eat at Cracker Barrel. Again, we're talking about food. But we did. We went to a Cracker Barrel, and we just were like, let's go get something different. You know, we have our cars there, obviously, because we drive from Georgia, so it's very easy for us. So we ate at Cracker Barrel, and what did we do on the 4th? This is the big question. What do you do at the 4th on property at Disney? The go-to answer is always going to be go see fireworks somewhere, even if you're parking in a parking lot. But did we do that? No. We went to Winter Summerland in the evening of July 4th and played mini golf. And it was right at the time where fireworks were going off. So it was really cool. We had the whole mini golf course to ourselves.
Nice.
And it was just us. The temperature was good because it was, you know, that dusk into evening time. Fireworks going off around it. We could kind of see the tips of some of the fireworks. I'm not sure what park we were seeing, but that was a great time. I mean, we didn't have to have a park ticket. You didn't have to do anything except just, we actually had some vouchers for the magical extras
that
we used for free mini golf. So it didn't cost us anything to do that. And it was just very close to All Stars, right up the road, you know, kind of near Coronado and the Blizzard Beach, just right next to Winter Summerland mini golf. So had a great time, and that's something that no one would probably pick to do, but it was something we really enjoyed doing. And now we have that forever memory of playing mini golf on July 4th evening while fireworks are going off at Disney. So
that's a great idea. That's kind of zigging where everybody else is zagging. Now I'll tell you what though, because we went to Winter Summerland to play mini golf when we were down, which was, like I said, just like a week after you, we were there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, there were so many people there that night when we went that we had to wait 45 minutes to get on the course.
Goodness.
Like, they were calling people's names. I mean, it was insanity. It was crazy. I mean, we had a good time once. We were with friends and stuff, so we were waiting. But it's a lot of fun, too. Like, you know, you don't think about doing these extra type things. You think about the 4 theme parks and your pool at your hotel. We had a good time. I mean, my biggest tip is if it's in the summer, you always play the winter side. And in the winter time, you play the summer side. You play the opposite season. More fun.
We played winter. They gave us a choice. They said, there's nobody here, so whatever you want to do. And he said, we did close earlier today for like an hour because of weather. And it kind of pop up. It was a very pop-up storm on the 4th itself. But they said, play whichever one you want to. We don't have anybody here. And by the time we left, we had a few people show up, but at that time, I guess everybody was making July 4th fireworks preparations, and we just capitalized on that experience. So we enjoyed it.
I'm picturing that scene from The Sandlot where they're playing ball. It's kind of the 4th of July picnic, and all of a sudden the fireworks go off, and everybody stops and looks into the sky. Yeah, good stuff. One of my favorite movies.
And I'm over here putting while everybody's looking at the sky.
That's right. It's like you winning the Masters, and the fireworks are going off, and everything's right in the world. Okay, anything else from this trip?
That's it. Very quick trip. We had a good time. We also have another one coming up, and next week we'll be there the 9th through the 12th. So have another small trip then. But that's my most recent one, and it was good. It was a good little weekend getaway over the 4th.
So what's your what do you hope for in this trip coming up? Like where are you staying, and what are your goals or your hopes?
So this trip is actually I host A Spoonful podcast like we talked about, and the guy that hosts it with me, his name's Brian Galloway, and he lives in New Jersey. I live in Georgia. We do it all virtual, but we've met only once before. We've never met at Disney, so it's just him and I. We're just going to do me and him at Disney. We're only doing one park day, the next day Disney Springs. The goal is to just, you know, get a bunch of pictures, have a good time, you know, us just figure out some stuff, maybe con some cast members into, you know, taking pictures with us and stuff like that, you know. But just have a good time. That's kind of the goal. It's going to be another very short trip, but I've never eaten at Whispering Canyon, so that's what I'm going to do. He's never rode Rise of the Resistance, so that's what we're going to do. Two good things.
Just saying, once you start meeting your podcast co-host at Walt Disney World, man, you can't turn back. Like, it's I can't go to Walt Disney World now without seeing Ricky or Pam or Scott.
So I know, right?
It's like it's a bridge you can't turn around and you know, go back. So no, you have a great time. That sounds like a ton of fun. I love that idea. Okay, so real quick, we got about 7 or 8 minutes. I want to ask you about some of the news. Of course, Genie Plus, Lightning Lanes, replacing the traditional Fast Pass. I think we think a lot alike, just from the way we, you know, Cracker Barrel, man, that melted my heart. We got to talk about Cracker Barrel on a Monday show. That's my jam, because it's really good. It's Liberty Tree Tavern for half the price. Just not the ambience. You're not in the Magic Kingdom.
Kind of better to me, too. But well, hey,
I got more options. Chicken and dumplings, baby. Okay, so what are you thinking, and what are you talking about on your show when it comes to this? Like, just philosophically, do you think it'll make things better long term? I mean, what are you thinking with, because Genie is just kind of basically a new system. Genie Plus is the basically Max Pass coming to Walt Disney World, and Lightning Lane's kind of that ultra exclusive e-ticket buy your way onto an attraction.
In theory, I understand the frustration with going to a paid Fast Pass system. It's something that Disneyland's doing and has been doing for a while, so it's nothing really new to the Disney scheme of things, but it is definitely new to the Walt Disney World community, and I can understand the frustration with it. I am not actually that concerned with, and I know Genie Plus is, it's an extra cost. It was a $15 per ticket per day, so it's going to be an extra cost to do the Lightning Lane thing. There's going to be those extra experiences, probably Rise of Resistance, some of the other ones that are going to be paid individually, but I am looking forward to Disney Genie, because I think that system, which, you know, we got to see you when it rolls out how it's really going to function. But I think that it has some pluses to really help guests out along the way. You know, I'm foreseeing hopefully this being something like, I don't know if it's going to qualify you as a guest. What are some of your likes and dislikes? So it kind of understands you and acts as like an AI type system to say, okay, I know you want to go to Flight of Passage, but here's the best time of the day to go to Flight of Passage. Why don't you head to Dinosaur right now? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm hoping it kind of does that, but I don't really know. It can't be telling 5,000 people to go to Dinosaur right now. So I don't know how that's going to, how it looks logistically and on paper. But in theory, like we said, I think Disney Genie has pluses, and I hope that itself becomes a good tool for guests to use while they're there at the parks.
And I think, you know, we're getting to the point of technology where this will be implemented basically in 2022. I mean, they might roll it out here as 2021 comes to a close. But I think, you know, if you think about this, this technology has been kind of analog over the past like 15 years. And I look back and I started listening to Disney podcasts probably about 15 years or 16 years ago, you know, because our show has been around. It'll be 13. We're like 13 and a half years now. So I was listening to them well before I started our show. And, you know, I always listen to the guys on WDW Today. And back then, you know, Len was doing all the touring plans that were, if you remember back with the unofficial guide, you would actually tear them out of the book, you know, just, and you would take a piece of paper. Some people laminated them. But what they did was they took your interests. You know, there was different. It didn't tell everybody to do this in this order. What it said was, it was one that was called the Dumbo. Is their famous one, the Dumbo or Die touring plan. Because, again, talking about old times, Dumbo used to be sitting out dead center of Fantasyland. You know, not covered. There was only one of them. And it was like the longest wait in the theme park, in the Magic Kingdom. And so it gave you a way to make sure that happened. If that was, you know, you had a kid that had to ride Dumbo, but then there was, you know, touring plans for like, you know, the preteens that, you know, all the mountains were the priority. I think that's where we're getting, where through data manipulation, they could make sure that if you're, you know, if you're a teenager, you're going to get all the adrenaline type attractions, but they're going to spread you out in different, they're going to put, you know, some over here, some over there. And I think that's doable at this point. So I'm with you. I'm excited for that. You know, and the more I'm thinking about this, again, I hate this, but because I'm cheap. But, you know, I think that I could use Genie Plus if I use it wisely. There's days where I go to the Magic Kingdom and I'm perfectly happy with just going on Carousel of Progress, People Mover, having a All-American Sunday and a, you know, a chicken and waffles at Sleepy Hollow. That's my day. I don't care if I ride Splash Mountain or anything, really. I mean, if I can just walk on whatever's available, Tiki Room's good, you know, it's fine with me. But there could be days, like if I'm there with my, you know, my daughters or my wife and they haven't been in a while, like I do want to do Space and Splash and all that stuff. So that day I might buy it, you know. So I think that if it gives options and it still gives me the option to make choices where I don't have to pay extra, but I can if I want to enhance it slightly, I think I'm going to be okay with it. I'm waiting and seeing. I'm going to see how this goes.
Yeah, and it really matters, too, what you're looking to get out of your vacation. Because if you're a nostalgic, longtime Disney fan who maybe doesn't care the most about, you know, rope drop to closing a park, and like you just said, Mike, some days when I go to a park, especially if you're an annual pass holder, some days when I go to a park, I'm okay with just being there, eating maybe my primary goal, or maybe shows or fireworks or attractions, maybe go in the later half of the day like Ricky does, right? Mm-hmm. Gets there at like 5 p.m. But you know, I think it only matters to what you want to do at that time. And, you know, a part of the paying process, you know, paying the $15 per day per ticket. But we know that some other attractions are going to be just a plus one individual cost. So say, you know, as Disney fans, we all like to gripe at certain times and then praise at certain times, right? So, all you know, the complaint over the last while has been, I can't get Rise of the Resistance boarding group. I can't get it. Well, what if on that day, don't buy the $15. What if Rise of Resistance is $8? Just spend $8 and get the ride that you've been wanting to do for a year.
Now see, one second on that one, though. See, here's my thing about Lightning Lane passes. And I said this, well, this will be on Friday's podcast, so you probably heard it by now if you're listening to the show. But I want them to price the Lightning Lane prices super high. Because I'm probably, this is just being selfish. Here's the reason. If you make it where it's not uncomfortable, so many people will buy these that it will start affecting the larger group, right? But if you make it where, say it's $50 to go on Riser, $50 a person, it's ridiculous. It's not going to be that. But just for the sake of argument, if you do that, very, very few people are going to take advantage of that. You still have that option. I mean, it's still there on the table, but you know, it's not going to affect everybody else. If you make it $8, that's pretty enticing, right? I mean, it's like, you know, it's $24, you know, for three people. Then all of a sudden you got everybody kind of bypassing the normal. So I don't know. I think of anything, that's where Disney's really walking a crazy line that I'm really curious to see how it's going to work out. Like, where do they find that pricing? Because I think you have to make it at a level where it's high enough that you don't have everybody in the park buying it, but it's not so high that they're getting gruff all over social media. That's going to be super interesting.
It's going to be very interesting to see how this rolls out, 100%. I just don't know what that's going to look like. You know, for the Lightning Lane purchaser, for a family of, you know, six, say, or five, you're doing $15 per ticket per person for that day, and then you would spend an extra 8, 9, 10, whatever, on Rise of Resistance. So, I mean, you're talking about $30 times six times your whole vacation. So, I mean, it can add up there. So I get the frustrations with that, but you don't have to get it every day. And that's what I think is good about it. But in summary, I'm looking more forward to Genie itself than Genie Plus. Genie Plus, I think it will be for those that want it and those that don't want it on certain days or the other.
Good stuff. Hey, that's what I love. I love talking with other Disney fans because we can have these discussions, right? I mean, this is why I love our community. I love the group of podcasters that we have in the community with different voices, but we can all just kind of give our ideas and, again, just wait and see how this all shakes out. I mean, Disney, I'll be honest. I mean, this is what I do full time for a living. I help people plan amazing Disney vacations. And do they ever call me and ask, you know, is this a good idea? What do you think? They don't. You know, I have to live with it as a Disney fan, as somebody who works related to how Disney does their business. But I think there are still ways that we can get a good value in our Disney vacation. But I think it's just, The person that I worry about for is not the person listening to our show. We know how to get the most out of a Disney vacation. We know get there at rope drop if you really want to get a lot done. If you, I mean, Ricky doesn't, but she knows the sacrifice, right? She sleeps. But right. And she's done everything about a billion times. But the people I worry about, think about if you're a first timer and you're somebody that's used to going to Six Flags, right? Or, you know, you go to Silver Dollar City or something. Now, all of a sudden, you have to learn a whole language. I mean, you got to learn about Genie Plus, Lightning Lanes, and virtual queues. And I've said this on the show, like where I'm from, we call them lines. I mean, even the term queue is foreign, you know, to a lot of people in the States. And so now you got these virtual queues. What's that mean? And I think there has to be a lot of education. So I think we're going to be okay. We're just got to set, we're setting our ways. We like the ways they are because we're good at it. And I think we'll get good at it again. It's just going to take us a little time. But, you know, for new people, I just think, man, I hope they have a good time, because I fell in love with Disney because I had a good time my first time, my second time, and subsequent times. But I could see there being kind of a frustration level. Or other people are saying, though, you could buy your way out of the frustration. So I don't know. We'll see.
That's some good points. I mean, you know, I was a Disney hater, like I've shared on my first trip report. But what made me a Disney lover the first time, I always used to say, why are these adults going to a kid park? I don't understand it. Because I grew up, you know, I'm an hour south of Atlanta going to Six Flags. And that's all I did growing up. So I didn't even understand that there was something of this level of involvement that exists of Disney World. So the first time I went there, I was blown away by customer service, by the experience, by just the feel of it. I don't know. I know you understand what I mean. Just the feel of being there. Right. It's not even a ride. It's not even.
Yeah, you're detached from reality for 4 or 5 days. You know, you're not checking the news. You're enjoying your family. That's what I love about it. Yeah. Even riding a bus is usually, for the most part, a pleasant experience where it wouldn't be in the real world.
Yeah. So that is for the first timer. I'm hoping that still they can just cling to soaking in the Disney that we all know and love, the culture, the service, the care for you as a guest. You're more than a number for a lot of times at Disney. You know, Six Flags, you're a number, and you're a number that, you know, gets torn in half, flicked around, grunted at sometimes. But Disney, you know, you have a lot more going for you. But I'm concerned a little bit about the first timers, but that's where, you know, not to plug you, but to have a travel agent there to help you around, like navigate this stuff is really important for a first time guest. Otherwise, you know, you are talking to someone or listening to a podcast to really help you get, you know, success on that first trip.
Well, you know, and I appreciate that. And I think that's where, you know, I'm no kidding. I'm glad that I have a background in education. You know, I spent 17 years teaching elementary school kids. And I'm not putting anybody down, but you really got to break this stuff down to kind of teach a whole new language to first-time guests and to temper expectations and to get them in the proper place to succeed. You know, as my sixth graders, I would always set them up for success depending on where they came into my classroom. And I mean, it's the same way with my guests at the Magic for Less. You know, some of these people are annual pass holders, DVC members that have used up all their points. They're my favorite DVC members. It's you know, like they don't need a lot. They just need somebody that's efficiently getting that room for them, getting the discounts, and they're ready. Like they're set. They listen to the show. They listen to 8 podcasts. They know what's going on.
Then and for that about, person... Genie Plus doesn't matter as much, because for me, who's the nostalgic Disney fan, I probably will hardly ever get Genie Plus. Really. I mean, I like to go to the parks. I like to walk around, experience things, go to some shops, get on like People Mover, that kind of stuff, you know, Carousel of Progress, those kind of things. But, you know, as far as getting on all those quote unquote e-ticket attractions, doesn't really matter the most to me. Same. And I know it does to some people, but I'm not very attraction heavy on my, you know, Disney vacations. I'm experience heavy. And experience is a lot more than just that ride to me.
Yeah, no, I couldn't say it better. It's it. It's the overall feeling of the trip, not just notching stuff off a checklist. But for a first timer, though, a lot of folks don't feel like they had a great trip unless they did, you know, A through Z, and they get home and somebody says, hey, did you guys ride Space Mountain? If you say no, they feel guilty, you know? So I think it's a thing. So we'll definitely talk about it. It's one thing. They're going to keep the podcast going because we got plenty to talk about now. So
that's how news after news.
giving us content. Well, Evan, hey, thank you so much for spending your Labor Day with us here on the show. And one more time, where can people check you out?
So you can find us at aspoonfulofpodcast.com. We just formed a new Facebook group called A Spoonful of Podcast Spoonie Nation. You can hear our show, which we are actually right now dead in the middle of a beginner's guide. So we talk to people who've never been to Disney. We never know what to refer them to. So now we're actually just today released our Epcot Part 2 World Showcase episode. We're 50 episodes in now. Our first episode ever was on Epcot. This one's on Epcot. So we're obviously Epcot fans, but we talk about everything in between. But yes, A Spoonful Podcast, Spoonie Nation is our Facebook page. Go find us there and join in on the conversation. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to stuff. Mike, thank you so much for letting me plug that. And thank you for all your help. As I told you before in the first trip report, thank you for all your help and advice that you've given me on, you know, getting started and joining this Disney podcast community. It's awesome.
No, it's great. We're all brothers here, and it's always great to have more content for the Disney fan, and Disney's helping us out, and it's great to have different voices. And I appreciate all you guys are doing. So have a great Labor Day, and have fun with that family.
Yeah, thanks. Y'all too. Appreciate it.
All righty. Don't forget, today's show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out. Again, we're going to be there to help you whether you are a DVC member who has burned through their points, like my buddy Scott, man. He burns through points like kindling. Yeah, I'm just saying. I know, you know, whatever. If you're not a DVC member, we can take care of you as well. That's the bulk of my guess. We're going to help you have a great Disney vacation, whether it's to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line. We're sailing again. And even Adventures by Disney. So just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the great trip planning tools to get started, to look at some photos, some specials that are out there. And then while you're there, fill out the quote form. And if you mention the show, I'll be getting back in touch with you right away. We'll start planning that great Disney trip together. So again, check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link if you're buying some tongs or some a meat thermometer here for Labor Day. Probably too late now, but, you know, Memorial Day is not too far off, I guess. It's 6 months out or more. But, you know, anytime you do that, hey, if you got to buy a Halloween costume, that's coming around here soon. Use the link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons. We appreciate you being there with us so much. You guys support the show. You let us get it out there all around the world. 4 times a week, it's because of your support. And our patrons get Mike in the Midwest, a mini podcast every Thursday. For more information on supporting the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter. I want to talk to you at @BRGuestMike. And of course, at @BRGuestPod for the show over on Instagram. And subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube, where we record all of these podcasts live with video. One last thing. Don't forget, next Sunday night, join us live. It's you, me, and Scotty G for the BOGP Open Line, where we take your calls. That's on Facebook and YouTube live at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Be there and give us a call. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get back to your barbecue. Enjoy this last little taste of summer. So for Evan, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday and a happy Labor Day. Until we see you again, stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.